You're listening to the Wesley Seminary Podcast out of Wesley Seminary at Iwu. Your host today is Dr. Aaron Perry, Assistant Professor of Pastoral Care.
Urgency has its place. It can sometimes feel like the urgent can become tyrannical. It can force us to do things that we maybe don't think are important or that we wish weren't important. But the contention of our guest today, one of the guests at the gathering or in Orlando, is that urgency has its place. Joining us for this very brief podcast, this on-site podcast in Orlando at the gathering, is Reverend Gabriel Salguero. Reverend Gabriel and his wife, Reverend Jeanette Salguero, are co-lead pastors at Calvario City Church here in Orlando, associate senior pastors and chief operating officers. Gabriel is also the president and founder of the National Latino Evangelical Coalition. I first met Gabriel a couple of months ago back at Indiana Wesleyan University, and one of my favorite illustrations he gave, before we get into talking about urgency, we're going to do that, but one of my favorite illustrations he gave was about John Cena and reconciliation and conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. So glad to be here.
Yesterday, I talked with a guy named Josh a little bit about wrestling. I want you to tell the John Cena illustration because I love it.
Well, first of all, I have to thank my 10-year-old son, Seth, who is a WWE fan. I mean, diehard fan, and he loves John Cena. And so the illustration is that those of you who watch, if you don't watch, here's John Cena. Before he puts his finishing move on you, he stands over you, over your almost broken body, and he waves his five fingers in front of his face, and the whole crowd shouts, "You can't see me." And then he leg drops you and does the people's, you know, he drops an elbow and defeats you and pins you. And my response to that is that's why we can be so mean to each other, because we don't see each other.
Yeah.
And the capacity, the great conflicts in our country, in our denominations, in our families, in our homes, is because we often get caught up in issues and we don't see the humanity of the other person. And so God, I think God is calling us to see each other. It's one of the great commandments. I saw the affliction of my people, you know, to see who has eyes to see and ears to hear. And so we have to move from "you can't see me" that allows us to leg drop people and totally demolish them into seeing people, even when we disagree.
It's a scary thing to be seen, right? Because when we're seen, other people can make judgments about us, and it's a judgment outside of our control. When we are controlling what other people see of us, then we're giving an image, right? That's it. That we're projecting an image that we have some more control over. But if we let people really see us, our control goes way down.
And that's right. And we are, and at least our generation, is very image conscious. And to let somebody see you makes you vulnerable. It's beyond the image. It's the essence of who you are. Both your virtues and your brokenness, your strengths and your weaknesses, as Andy Crouch talks about, you know, weak and strong, or strong and weak. And so it's hard to let people see us. And that's a root of many of the conflicts we live in contemporary society. People don't see each other, and people don't want to be seen, but they project images.
So you're a pastor. Talk to pastors that are listening in from the pastor perspective, because as a pastor, as other pastors I talk to, they want to be very careful about who they are seen to be. Yeah. And in part of it, that's not a bad thing.
That's correct.
But it's a scary thing when they think about what levels of vulnerability, when they think about who they can be vulnerable with, when they think about the right forums of vulnerability. Just talk to us a little bit about what does it mean for pastors to be seen?
Look, I think that there are levels of intimacy, right? And so my wife sees me in ways that my neighbor doesn't see me, or even my two sons. I have two sons. They see me in a different way. They're still seeing me, but not to the levels of intimacy as my wife sees me. And that's perfectly acceptable, and also not just acceptable, it's needed. You can't let people into every dimension of intimacy. Your wife is not your neighbor. Your neighbor is not your employer. Mm-hmm. I think, but in each case, when people see you, there has to be authenticity. You can't project what now and others call a false self. Be a true self. But I can be the true self as a pastor, the true self as a husband, as a father, as a son, as a neighbor, as an employee. But they're all authentically me, that there's not dissonance, or there's not falsehood in that. And I think that's the difference. There's got to be authenticity, but that is stewarded by levels of intimacy.
So let's shift into the message you just gave here at the gathering and urgency. I opened up this podcast with urgency. Talk to us about why does urgency have its place, and how do you see urgency playing a role right now in our pop culture?
Yeah, look, I first of all, I'm glad to be at the gathering. I was honored. Jeanette and I, my wife, were here, and we were able to do it bilingually, you know, in English and Spanish, and that's always a treat and a joy. What I was trying to say is, look, we have to navigate in our culture between urgency and despair. Some things are urgent: preparing our next generation, mentoring women and men into the future of leadership. But we can't let that turn into despair. Despair is the negative slope of urgency, where you begin to say things can't get better, kind of dystopic visions of the future, chicken little moments in American society. And so there's an urgency of preparing a new generation, of church planting, of impacting our society. But let's never confuse that kind of sense of urgency, of mission call, with a sense of despair that it's only us, that we're alone, a messianic complex. So urgency, our cities need revival. Our rural areas need revival. There's a generation of Gen Zs and millennials and Xers and boomers and builders that need an experience with God. There's always an urgency to that, to preach the gospel, but never despair, because we're not alone.
How does rest factor into that sense of urgency as well? Here at The Gathering, we've been talking about rest and the importance of being in that good rhythm. How does rest live alongside urgency?
Right. And here's the dance, right? I mean, like much of life is a dance, much of Christian ministry is. Urgency allows you to work with the knowledge that you can't do it alone. And so what I talked about was team building. If you're really into urgency, work on things that have transcended, eternal, and long-lasting value. I confess to this audience who was very forgiving, my ADD. I have ADD and I have ADHD. And so what I often do is I get caught up being distracted for things that are transcended. They're trending. And I begin to replace trending things with things that have long-lasting value. And that's why I'm always restless. I'm in despair because I don't have enough time, because I'm distracted by things. And so the reason that urgency allows us to rest is if we focus on things that have everlasting value, but not being what I like to call WMDs, weapons of mass distraction, and focusing, and that I talked about future generations. Focusing on young men and women, focusing on future pastoring, that has transcendent value. It also lets me rest because I know this will outlive me.
Yeah.
It will outlive my ministry. I'm 45 years old. I'm already planning my exit. I'm already planning our churches, you know, about 5,000 people. I can't do that forever. And so I have to look for men and women and team. And that's my urgency, to prepare for long lasting value rather than being transcending what's faddish. And that's where I think the despair comes in, because we have so much information coming in on Twitter, on Snapchat, on Facebook, on all the social media platforms. And we're like, oh, that's urgent. Oh, that's urgent. Oh, that no. Urgency has a place. And the place of urgency are things that have transcendent value.
I love that distinction between focusing on that which is transcendent rather than that which is trending.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap this podcast up just because we're trying to get, you know, enjoy the gathering here. But I want to share this one last story with our listeners, because today I came in and I was late and I goofed the time to record this podcast. And the first thing that Daniel did was give me a hug. And I want our listeners to know that, because that showed to me that, you know, you could have been annoyed, frustrated, whatever. Maybe you were on the inside, but you gave me a hug and totally set me at ease. And that was great. Like, that meant the world to me. So
thank you for receiving the hug. Listen, in this society, in this culture, we often prioritize time over people. I come from Hispanic culture where people are a bigger priority than time. Not that time is not a priority. And so, you know how many times I've been late? You know, I read a book about the rate of change called Acceleration. You know, I have an iPhone 9, and in a year, iPhone 10 makes it obsolete. And we're always rushing. No. Let's give each other what one preacher called space for grace. And let's give each other time, and let's meet each other. Let's sit down at the table, as Andy Wise talks in his Andy Crouch on his book, Tech Wise Family.
Yeah.
Let's slow down so we can focus on what is important and transcendent. Thank you, Aaron. I want to say thank you for your podcast. Thank Wesley Seminary for what they're doing. It's empowering many men and women who are in ministry and lay people. It's really a blessing. So thank you for the gift of the podcast.
Oh man, you're very welcome. So cool that in my flub, my letdown, I was able to be seen. But in being able to be seen, I was able to receive grace, and so I appreciate that. Kind of a maybe providential that my that God would let us have that moment. So I appreciate it. And I hope that the two listeners, that this podcast is helpful. Check out some of the other resources, other episodes as well from the Wesley Seminary podcast. And I hope this has been a taste of what's going on here at the gathering, to those who have been here or to those who can't join us. But thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great day.
Gracias.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter under the name Wesley Seminary.